Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
"I found Nirvana! I win!"
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $200 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Back in here live on a Tuesday edition of Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Nick Braden, D-Maze, and Marquise with you. Stick to Sports coming up at 8:45 this morning. We'll get back to the Predators and their win last night in the Motor City. But right now, we talk a little college hoops as we welcome in the head coach of Belmont, Casey Alexander, back with us here on Morning Drive. Coach, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. How are you?
We're doing well. So I'm curious, like, you obviously got Illinois State coming up tomorrow night to tip off your season. Just in general, what are some of the goals and objectives beyond the obvious of winning when you've got the non-conference, the non-league portion of your schedule early in the year before you head into conference play?
Yeah, objectives really change from beginning to end. You know, we're trying to, you guys think it's just a bunch of coach speak, but the truth is we're trying to be as good as we can be today, and then we'll try to be as good as we can be tomorrow. And in the process, we hope we will continue.
Hey, Coach, give us sort of the emotional ride you've been on and what it feels like to be where you are today, this close to doing what you're about to start here. Like, just give us the emotion of it all.
Yeah, well, it's an exciting time for me. You know, obviously, a different off season, you know, taking over a new team, being back at Belmont, learning about my new players and building relationships with them. And, you know, April to November is a long time. And, you know, so to kind of see it all come full circle, and now we've got a game to play tomorrow, you know, on a personal level, I'm just kind of ready to turn the page and get to what we came here to do.
Now, Coach, I mean, I know it's a long season and you don't want to, you know, emotions get high your first game of the season, regardless of who you play. How have you been able to, and you've been at this for a good while now, so you probably have a formula or a sort of a regimen how you like to get your teams ready. But how have you been able to kind of calm everybody down, sort of like the calm before the storm? Because, I mean, you're a new coach, new place. And I know you want to start off on a good foot, just like the players do.
Yeah, we do, and it is a challenge. I mean, there's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of, there's probably some nerves and anxiety and that sort of thing. You know, for everybody with a first game, especially considering we've got a tough opponent in Illinois State and it's on the road and all that goes along with that. But you know, I think really you just have to keep your head down and go about your business. And you know, I'm pretty honest with these guys. It's just philosophically, I just try to tell them like it is. And in that way, I don't have to be Mr. Motivation or try to grab at straws from game to game to figure out how to motivate them. It's just, here are the facts, here's what we need to do, and let's try to prepare ourselves to go do it.
Casey, as a fan of basketball in this area, just personally, I think it's really important for programs like Belmont to do two things, and that is, one, schedule, especially because you guys have been so good, schedule difficult non-conference games against higher-level opponents. You got Boston College this year. You got Alabama. You guys, under Rick Byrd, had no problem playing those games. And then play a bunch of local teams. We know you're going to get Lipscomb a couple times, but you're going to play Western and Middle. You know, TSU is traditionally obviously a big part of this in conference. So are those two things that you want to focus on during your tenure, not just this year, but throughout your tenure as a head coach?
Well, I mean, I think we'll stick with that same formula. It's hard to line your goals and objectives up with the people that you're trying to play because, you know, the reality is we're all looking out for ourselves when we're scheduling games. And so putting that puzzle together is not easy. It is important to us that we play good teams. It's important to us that we play local teams. And so we'll continue to do that as long as the stars align and we can make it happen.
Casey Alexander, head coach of Belmont, joining us here on Morning Drive. Last year, Coach, it was between Belmont and Murray State. I know you probably don't buy into preseason predictions, but, you know, you read all the publications, Athlon Sports, they believe it's going to be Belmont-Murray State again. How would you assess the Ohio Valley Conference right now, top to bottom, from what you've seen in a short period?
That's a good question, and it is too early to call. I mean, I'm familiar with the league, obviously, but I'm not deep enough into it at this point. And this team and this team, you know, I think they'll challenge for the league, or this team and this team, they're going to struggle. I'm just not familiar enough with it. You know, the reason the rankings are where they are because Belmont and Murray have been at the top for a year. But you know, time will tell if that's accurate or not. I hope that we're where they predict us to be. I can tell you that.
Now, Coach, not only do you guys have your opening game, and it's going to be a tough outing for you guys, but college basketball is interesting, and this is the reason why I love it, is because it seems like at the beginning of the year you get all of these teams, and the top-ranked teams seem to play one another. And whether you win or lose, I don't think it ultimately affects you because it's such a long season. But to have a team like Michigan State, who's ranked number one, play Kentucky, I believe they're ranked two. How good is that? How important is that for college basketball to get these top-ranked teams to play one another very early?
Well, it's definitely important. I mean, you know, you guys know better than anybody. What people want to talk about right now is football, and mm-hmm. for good reason. I mean, it's a great thing. And so basketball's not even on the radar for a lot of folks. And to have those marquee matchups, you know, does bring some attention to the game. And you're right, it doesn't for those teams, those Power Five teams, it doesn't really make that much difference because, you know, when it's all said and done, they're still going to be in the NCAA tournament probably, if you're talking about the Blue Bloods. You know, but it does create unique matchups. You know, but for guys like us, I can tell you every game really matters. You know, Belmont's an at-large team last year. And if Belmont loses their second game in overtime at Samford, they don't make an at-large bid. If Nate Moran at Lipscomb makes a three at the buzzer against Belmont, then Belmont doesn't get an at-large bid. So it's easy to say this is just non-conference, but in reality, it all matters.
Coach, always a pleasure. We appreciate the time. Best of luck tomorrow night, and we'll chat again in a couple of weeks.
Appreciate it, guys.
You got it. Casey Alexander, head coach at Belmont.
We're going to talk with him pretty routinely throughout the course of the year. Exciting if you're a Belmont fan. Obviously, if you're a Lipscomb fan, a little bittersweet, but you like the guy. But am I just totally making this up that people are more interested in basketball this year? Or am I just living in my own little universe right now?
You mean locally here or nationally?
I guess just maybe both.
I think you're totally on.
Maybe we can discuss this after the break. But like for some reason,
well, just think about how much hoops we talked last spring on this show.
Yeah,
but isn't that more? That's more locally based. I feel like it's not only just local. And again, I'm as John Morant goes, John Morant went like 10 of 16 last night with like 23 points for the Grizzlies. He played one of his best games last night, and you know, he's a Murray State kid. We just talked to, you know, the coach of the OVC predicted preseason champ. You know, there's a lot of intrigue locally, but I also think there's more interest in basketball nationally. I don't know if there's trickle down from the NBA. I don't, the FBI investigation. There's just so many stories. I don't know. Maybe I'm making it up.
I just think the teams here in the state are so good where they're worth talking about.
Yeah, now they.
And Memphis.
You look at Memphis. You look at Memphis, you look at Lipscomb, Belmont. Both of them have new coaches. You look at Vanderbilt. They have a new coach in Jerry Stackhouse. What Bird is doing. Not Bird, but at UT.
Barnes.
Coming off the best season. Can they play to that level or close to that level again in the SEC?
So I'm not making it up.
You have a bunch of storylines. I think TSU would be pretty good. So you have a bunch of storylines amongst all these teams in the state.
I mean, just lifelong diehard Grizzly fan over here. I'm just
lifelong
diehard.
Yeah. And on the other side of the spectrum, you've got Derek Mason, who never wants to step foot in that city again.
Yeah.
Did you see Beale Street on Saturday? It was awesome, man. Game day was cool, man.
There's nothing wrong with Memphis and Beale Street. I'm sure it's a fine city.
I'm sure it's a fine city.
I haven't had a good experience there.
Not Bradley Beale.
We went 8-8 in that stadium.
Well, like every other year, Jeff Fisher coached the team.
We went 8-8 in that stadium, and Pittsburgh still has outnumbered us.
That is a...
Oakland Raider fans outnumbered us. Okay?
Listen, it looked good on TV on Saturday night when they smoked SMU. It looked good. But that stadium
was packed.
But that stadium is a dump.
I know that it is, stadium but is a man... Dump. When that SMU game,
looked
Memphis
great.
Game,
looked awesome.
I don't think there was an empty seat in the house.
I've never seen it like that.
Man.
It was just like a Titans game.
That was better than the Titans game.
Yeah, I think that was the point.
Yeah.
Stick to sports coming up at 8:45. We'll get back to the Predators at 8:30. We'll continue the college hoops conversation when we come back. 1 versus 2, 3 versus 4. Good or bad for the sport? That's next on Morning Drive. Big doubleheader tonight in the world of college basketball. If you're a hoops junkie, this is right up your alleyway tonight at 6 o'clock. Number 3 Duke, number 4 Kansas at Madison Square Garden, followed in the same venue by number 1 Sparty and number 2 Kentucky.
With some college football rankings
in between,
sandwiched in the middle. Listen, I have not been this excited to watch an opening night of college basketball in quite some time. Now, I also don't think we've ever in the history of the sport had the top four teams in the same building, right? Like, I don't think we've ever had each of the four teams that were one through four. I also is this true? Maybe Marquise, you can double check this. I think it's the first time in history we've had 1 versus 2 AP college basketball and 1 versus 2 AP college football in the same week.
Whoa, that's a really good. I never thought about that.
Think about that. I'm not sure we've ever had that before. We can check, I'm sure, in our massive and well-compensated stats and information department back there.
Yes.
Named Munson.
Hundreds of people just behind the scenes, yes, crunching the data.
Dozens. Dozens of people.
I'm going to give you a take. You guys want a take?
Oh, I love takes.
Go ahead.
Let me give you two takes.
Allman Brothers are good?
No.
Okay.
Number one, Michigan State's going to hammer Kentucky tonight.
Oh, yeah, that's the truth.
I think Cassius Winston, big night.
He might be the best player in the entire country.
Number two, I think we get a really, really good one between Kansas and Duke. And I'm already second-guessing. I've already bet on these games.
Oh, you're so sick and twisted.
But I'm already doubting my Duke pick. Duke feels like too much of an obvious pick. I took Duke, and I already hate it.
What? Why?
I don't know. Just
Why are all your bets that you've made this week, you're not going back on them? You're
what
going back on the over-under.
What are you scared of, man?
Yeah, you bet the over.
I need
on
to buy
LSU,
a dog.
Bama.
I'm scared.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Michigan State probably, because Langford was hurt a lot
last year. He's out tonight.
Yep. But, I mean, goodness. But
you don't think the guy who's gambling knows about all this
with
stuff?
With Langford and Winston, they probably have one of the best, if not the best, backcourt in the country.
Is Cassius Winston the first pick in the draft this year, you think?
It's not the NBA raw upside. No?
Yeah, he's...
He reminds me of that guy who gets picked like 11th and has like a 15-year career.
He reminds me of...
the next great Spur?
No, he reminds me of, why am I forgetting his name? To play for the Pistons with the point guard for the Pistons.
Chauncey Billups.
He reminds me of Chauncey Billups. Chauncey probably was a better scorer than Cassius Winston.
And
maybe
too.
A little bit bigger. Yeah. But they remind me so much of one another.
Billups was yoked.
Yeah, he's a great floor general. And he scores. He has that sort of lazy game where, you know, you look up and he has 20-some points, but it don't look like it. He can take over a game, as he has shown. But I don't think, like you said, his NBA upside. He'll still get drafted. I think he'll still be a first-rounder.
The way he feathers the throttle on his game is absolutely a thing of beauty to watch.
He picks it up and he slow it
down. It's like a motorcycle.
And it's all
like
under control.
Yep. 100%.
He feathers the throttle.
I like that.
Yeah, you feather the throttle, right?
It just feels good.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, you want to feather my throttle?
Whoa. Jesus.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's relaxing.
No, I don't want to do that.
We didn't go that far,
I do
Nick.
Not want to touch your throttle.
Meanwhile.
Nick, why you always got to go here, there?
And here's this will tick off Kentucky fans.
Oh.
Doing a little due diligence on the Cats last night. Really only 4 players back from last year's team that logged meaningful minutes.
That's more than normal, right?
Yeah,
is that more than normal? Because it feels
Hagans,
like, you know,
Montgomery, Richards, and Quickly.
Cal always reloads.
Yeah.
But I feel like Izzo's got far more proven commodities at this point of the year right now.
Oh, I mean, listen, Izzo's the better coach, all right?
Absolutely.
It's not even close.
I agree.
So even though if you lose the bet, Derek, you have to come in and on the show say,
come in and, you know,
hey, Calipari is the greatest coach of all time, which I think will be funny to hear you say.
Yeah. Because I'm not going to mean it, but I got to say it. But no.
I mean, they don't have any returning starters, right? Is Hagans considered a returning starter?
Hagans might be the only returning sort of starter. I mean, he didn't even average over 10 points. He averaged 7
Richards,
points last year. Yeah.
I think Richards is banged up, too. He's not healthy.
I mean, Reed Travis, P.J. Washington, Keldon Johnson, Tyler Uro, all gone.
All gone, man. This is
that's 4 double-digit scores
I mean,
off
listen,
last year's
they,
team.
He,
yep. Every year.
He's brought in, you know, these 5-star recruits. And they're ranked number 2 for a reason. So they are a good team, but
he's just a therapist. Yeah. That's all. He's a team psychologist. He's not a basketball coach.
Yeah. So, but
and I mean that in a complimentary way.
I think Michigan State will boat race them tonight.
I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
Jinx.
What are you, like 11? 1987? And Casey Alexander's right. For those teams, it doesn't matter as much. Could it be a resume win that gets you the difference between a one seed or a two seed at the end of the year? Maybe. But that's the most that's at stake tonight is that sort of thing. Remember, was it last year that – was it Duke that smashed Kentucky last year by like 100 points in this matchup?
Mm-hmm.
And then at the end of the year, as they got closer to the end of the year, Kentucky got significantly better and – you know, all this stuff. And so it's just theater. Enjoy it. Like, sit back and enjoy it and start to get to know these Kentucky players, because you know they're all brand new faces. And that's the other problem college basketball has in general as a sport, is it takes so much time for you to get to know these players. But by the time you do, the tournament's over. And it's like, oh, I just got to know so-and-so, and he's a great player, but now he's gone.
Mm-hmm. They have out of their, how many guys are on the roster? 15?
You get 13 scholarships, 12 or 13 scholarships.
13. 7 of the 13 are freshmen, like never played a lick of college basketball.
Yeah, that's Calipari.
But usually Cal has even though he has freshmen coming in, it's always usually a good mix of guys that have played considerable minutes.
Well,
the year prior.
Last year he had a lot of sophomores.
It's what made P.J. Washington, who I think was a sophomore, and Reed Travis, the senior, as front court players. It's what made that team a little different.
Exactly.
Is that they had, now on their championship team in 2012, what was it, Darius Miller, I want to say was his name. They had a couple, two or three guys that were veterans on that team. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Anthony Davis. They were the stars, and they're the ones who, you know, are the main cogs in that team. But they had a couple guys that made really big shots and played critical moments. The other name that like, I forgot, it's almost like I'd forgotten that he'd come back to basketball,
mm-hmm.
is Trey Jones at Duke.
Yeah,
he is statistically one of the best point guards that has ever played in the ACC.
He came back?
Exactly what I thought. I was like, wait a second, Trey Jones? So he can't shoot to save his life.
No.
But the guy, from an assist to turnover ratio, how he runs a team, you know, that Duke team with him at the point, they're going to have a bunch of great young freshmen as well. That Trey Jones, like, Trey Jones is one of those names where you go, man, I didn't even realize he was still playing in college, but he's back for his sophomore year.
You know who he reminds me of?
He's a great player.
Chris Duhon. Great floor general, great assist to turnover ratio, not a great shooter,
but
a leader.
And Mike Krzyzewski has said Trey Jones might be the best defensive on-ball defensive player he's ever had. Which, think about the on-ball defensive players they've had, right? With Wojciechowski, but who was the other guy? Obviously back Bobby Hurley. Who was the? Why am I drawing a blank?
Woj?
The point guard that won the national
Williams.
Title recently.
Williams.
The white guy. I can't remember his name. Guy who could score too. We played point guard. Anyway.
Paulus?
That's another one, but he wasn't that good.
Oh, the guy that kept on getting the foul.
Not Grayson Allen.
Grayson Allen?
A different white Duke player.
Well, they're all white and they're all annoying.
But they're all good.
I'll remember. Basically, Trey Jones is arguably the best defensive player he says he's ever had at that position, which is saying a lot, and he's back. So, like, he's a guy that people might know because he actually played last year and is a star this year. Winston is a guy people know because he was a star last year and he's back. There's just not a lot of guys. It takes you a while to get to know these teams.
I wonder, because to me it's sort of a wide open SEC. I think Kentucky's favorite to win the SEC with Florida second and LSU. But I wonder if Auburn, Bruce Pearl.
Mm.
I mean, that team was good last year.
Can we just fast forward to the tournament at Bridgestone? I'm ready.
They got to the final. Did they get to the Elite Eight or the Final Four last?
Final Four. They lost because they fouled the Virginia player in the corner for three-point shot.
Yeah. So can Bruce Pearl get that team back? I mean, if anybody can do it, he can. Because to me, he can sell water to a whale.
Talk a dog off a meat truck.
Exactly.
I'd like Florida to win the conference this year.
So in the Athlon magazine, we've got Auburn as an 8 seed going into the tournament, NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky as a 1. We've got Mississippi State. Let's see here. They got Tennessee as a 9 seed. Alabama as an 8 seed. Mississippi State as a 10 seed. Florida as a 2 seed. And Memphis, of course, is predicted to be pretty darn good. I know they're not in the SEC, folks, so don't tweet me. So the SEC's got a lot of teams, but no, like, it's basically two at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And then what do you make of LSU? We've got them as a 5 seed. You know, that's a team that went through so much the last couple of years. Like, I still don't understand how their coach is employed. Like, I still don't understand that.
Any wiretaps lately in Baton Rouge?
I don't understand how he's still employed. Mm. I don't get it. It's not because he's a bad guy or whatever. I just don't, like,
how he survived that
right,
stint.
Like,
yeah.
That's mind-boggling.
He just sat at a press conference, just lied to everybody.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Well, he's winning, I guess. That's what you can lie, but
it's
if
all that
winning,
matters.
There's like regular garden variety cheating in college basketball, and then there's like you're paying like a backup guard, and we have you on tape. Like, mm-hmm. Dude, what are you talking about? How are you?
That wasn't my voice. That wasn't my
right,
voice. That's not me. That's not me.
There was.
But you
it's not
just
a transcript.
Said your name.
It's not
no,
a
that's
transcript.
Not me. That's not me. Nope.
Stick
not me.
To sports coming up at 8:45 this morning. Coming up next, we'll get back to the Predators. Big win for them last night in dominant fashion after the first 20 minutes. And also a couple of things that have really stood out. Some really, really positives. And one guy that I'm a little down on. We're back after this on Morning Drive.
Now Bonino with Grimaldi and Smith. Bilfola kicked out of the faceoff. Minute 57 gone. Faceoff one back to Hamhuis. His shot tipped into the net. And the Predators have tied it up 2 minutes into the second period. And now it is Kyle Turris moving and shoring. Kyle Turris swept the puck at the net. And it goes in over the glove of Jimmy Howard. 2-1 Nashville at 5:32. Ellis. Looks up to center ice, brought down by Colton Sissons. His shot, he scored! Colton Sissons rifles one by. The Predators take a 3-1 lead. They have three goals in a span of 4 minutes, 34 seconds. Puck held in the zone. Johansson battling down the right board. Perlini was there with him. Up the right side, Perose. And now a shot and a score by Matt Duchene from just inside the blue line. 4-1 Nashville at 7:36. Here's Forsberg, the shot stopped. Rebound right off the goalpost. No, they say it went in. Matt Duchene.
Nashville has second of the game on the power play. Score by number 95, Matt Duchene.
Forsberg, half court. Briosi at the point. Return to Forsberg, who comes out near the point. Now from the circle, he scores. What a ripper. He really let that one go. Power play goal for Philip Forsberg. And that's going to do it. The Nashville Predators can win this one here tonight, 6-1.
And that is, of course, how it sounded on the Predators Radio Network. ESPN 102.5 The Game last night. Pete Weber with the call as the Predators dismantle the Detroit Red Wings 6-1. Detroit jumped out to an early lead about 3 minutes into that contest. They were up one zip after 20, but then the Predators said, you know what, all right, you stink, we're good, we're going to flip the switch, and you've got no shot. 6-1, Predators win. 2 goals for Dutchie, a goal for Bones.
Dutchie.
Did I miss any other nicknames? Forsberg, Sissons, Turris.
Yeah, by the way, John Shire is the name I was thinking of for Duke. I don't know if anybody remembers that guy or not.
Oh, yeah, that white dude.
Yeah, 19 points on an Natty national title team, I believe. Get the Red Wings sort of weird statistical thing off your back a little bit, right? Peter Laviolette's got a terrible record against the Detroit Red Wings. Darren was talking about it yesterday on the show with us. Just had to get that sort of eliminated there. We do have a developing situation, though, as it pertains to the Nashville Predators power play. Yes.
Oh.
Yes, we do. They scored, what, 2 more goals last night on the power play? We now have a parody account on Twitter that involves Nick Hale's Dan Lambert back tattoo.
Ah.
So we have a Twitter account now titled DL Back Tattoo. That's at DL underscore tattoo, who's now tweeting pictures of hairy shirtless men with pictures of Dan Lambert's face all over the different parts of the body. Here's a major problem I have with this. First of all, I love you, Nashville audience. You guys are spectacular. You gave us Chase McCabe as Keith Urban.
Yes.
One night.
That's where it started.
That's where and it was one of the most fantastic days of my personal life, personally. The birth of my children, you know, that's like probably number one. Number two is when Chase McCabe looked like he was photoshopped into Keith Urban's body. This is spectacular. This is great. I love the fact that our audience took it upon themselves to create a Dan Lambert back tattoo Twitter account. Which is just fun to say. The problem is you need to spell tattoo correctly.
You know, tattoo
you
is that one word that
tattoo.
If I do text it out or type it out, I have to recheck it. just for some reason.
Yeah, like, I think it's enough, a simple word.
It's a very enough, simple word.
Tat, T-A-T, two, T-O-O.
Yeah. Did I put enough T's in this? You know, or add another O?
I'm with Nick. That one's, I don't think you have too many excuses on tattoo. I can't spell necessary.
Yeah, that's
can't
another.
Spell necessary to save
but
my life.
But no one should have any excuse now, because what you do is you just push that little button and say tattoo or necessary.
Well, now it's on
and
your
it comes out.
Now it's on your emails too. Like you remember, it finishes your sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
like it finishes your sentence. You just hit tab and like the whole sentence is finished for you. Pretty soon we're just gonna think things into our phone and it'll send a text message.
And we're close.
You know what? You know what it really is gonna be, Matt. Think about this. I was thinking about this the other day. I told my wife. She looked at me like I was crazy. So you guys will probably do the same thing.
Well, you are.
Yeah. You know what texting is going to be in the future? You're just going to look at like five emotions, like on a screen. It's going to say like happy, snarky, fun, see you later, right? And you're just going to like look at that, and it'll write the sentence for you and send it to you, because it'll make it grammatically correct, it'll make it spelled correctly, and it'll make it like the exact emotion you want to portray to the other person without you having to write anything.
Well, you know,
does that make sense?
No. They have that technology already. If ALS patients.
Oh yeah.
When they've gotten to a point, because you know, I first got introduced to what it can do to your body through OJ Brigant in Baltimore. It was this is a guy that I played against, a guy that was, when I got there, great guy, family guy. He was running with us, working out with us, everything, and then all of a sudden it all just stopped. But when he got confined to a wheelchair and he couldn't talk, he had this computer where he just looked. It went by your eyes. Mm-hmm. He just looked at it, and it basically spelled out everything, and then the voice kind of said everything it needed to say. So the technology is there.
Yeah, I just, like, I can see the future where we're sitting, and we pick up a phone, we look at our phone, and it's like, instead of having letters on the keypad, it's just going to be, like, emotions.
Yeah.
Like, and Derek will text me something, and I'm just going to go, well, I want my response to be kind of snarky, kind of stupid, you know, funny, and also, like, let him know tomorrow at 9 a.m. And, like, I'm just going to look at those four things on my keypad, and it will write the entire text to me, and it will make me look as good as possible. Right? Like,
you're right.
Because no one can spell or no one's got good grammar. I think I might have just said that incorrectly. No one uses grammar well. I don't even know.
There we go.
If you want to read about ALS, by the way, check out Addie Barkin. He's probably the most powerful activist right now in the country, and you want to read some more about ALS, check that out. Also, the Preds' power play was pretty good last night.
Yeah.
Two power play goals last night. Bonino's on fire. All of a sudden, he's an offensive juggernaut. Eight goals, four assists. He's now sitting on 12 points on the year. Yossi, Ellis, Duchesne, Bones, your top four scorers.
Turris got to go last night.
Let me ask you this, though, because we mentioned this in the first half of the show, the first 30 minutes. Is Mikael Granlund becoming the Turris of this year? Demoted basically to the fourth line last night, 10 straight games without a point. And I kind of went in on him a little bit earlier in the show, where I'm like, all right, you've been here for almost a half season worth of games. I just feel, other than maybe four or five games, I don't notice the guy out there.
Yeah, 31 games so far with the Preds, regular season. Obviously, there's some playoff games in there too, but I don't know if that's enough time to make a judgment on a player yet. But your point is totally valid. Craig Smith is also in this conversation with one goal through 16 games. It's the highest scoring team that the Preds have ever had, and Craig Smith, a former goal scorer, is not scoring goals. Doesn't mean he's not contributing, but those are the two guys with expiring contracts at the end of the year, and I don't think you can keep both of them and still pay Roman Yossi his new contract. So both of those guys should feel a sense of urgency, I would imagine, to regain a new contract.
What I'm trying to figure out is, and maybe because they're just two different type of players. And you just brought up Mikael Granlund, but then you look at Duchesne, and it seems like he hasn't had any step back by joining it. He joined a new team, and it's just kept going. And then you see guys like Turris and Granlund, who was players at their other teams or did well, and then they get here, and it's taking them some time to kind of get things going. I don't understand that.
But I also don't want to hear Granlund was on the second line. Like, Granlund's had success by association on that second line because of Duchesne and Forsberg. I don't think that Granlund's really contributed to that great second line to start the year, or even if it's technically the first line.
Yeah, I mean, he was pretty good for the first four or five games, so I'm not gonna knock him on that. But your 10 points, 10 games without a point, to your, is exactly the same kind of thing we would have seen out of Kyle Turris last year. So I think it's a totally valid question. Again, I think it's interesting because you're going to need all these pieces to win a cup, but you're not going to have all of them next year. And so if you're Granlund or Smith, you're fighting for a new contract, whether it's with the Predators or somebody else. You've got to go out and prove yourself, right? Like, these guys don't have a paycheck next year. I mean, they're going to get jobs, but like, who and where and how much is all very much up in the air for them, as for the futures of their career. So I think that's an interesting development. Now, I would assume Granlund will pick up, and I'm assuming Bonino will slow down. I think that's sort of regression to the mean there for both of them. Matt Duchene is just a far better player, I think, than both of those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, they've always been coveted Matt Duchene way more than they coveted Kyle Turris or Mikael Granlund. So I think it's hard to compare the $8 million, you know, prize possession to sort of a guy they got in a trade deadline. You know, like, and that's Granlund there. Turris is a guy they decided, we're going to give you $6 million a year. That's a lot of money. So I don't think moving Turris makes as much sense if you think he's going to be productive the rest of the year. Maybe you get rid of the contract at the end of the season.
We have developments on the Dan Lambert back tattoo Twitter handle.
Yes.
He has tweeted us. He said, there, are you happy now? He changed the actual Twitter handle at with the two T's.
Right, which is good.
But the header above still has one T.
His title is still spelled incorrectly. And the title is what you see normally. So, no, I'm not happy now, Dan Lambert back tattoo. Okay? Dan Lambert back tattoo, I'm not happy with you. Do better. DL back tattoo.
And I'll tell you what, if they keep getting two power play goals a game, I'm well on my way to some fresh ink.
Here's the question. Derek. How serious are we holding him to this?
Oh no.
I swear to God, no, I will get it done.
You will get a tattoo?
I
will get it done.
You're not supposed
to drink before tattoos, right? Like, it's very bad because your blood thins out. You're not supposed to get...
Have a shot.
I mean, we're at a point now where there is no walking it back once Willie Donick says on Fox Sports Tennessee on television that he brings it up.
Do we have the audio of that?
I don't.
I requested it, but we didn't get it.
But I will say, do not get the DL tattoo, because I don't want people to look at it and be like, oh, you like DL Hughley. Is this your favorite comedian? Is that why you got the DL Hughley?
It needs to be either...
on the down low.
It either needs to be.
I don't know.
It has to be. I think it needs to be Dan Lambert's face. I think it has to be Dan.
No,
Lambert's
I'm not doing a face.
What if it's a really tiny face?
No, I'll do initials.
Initials doesn't mean anything.
Exactly.
For those that know, they'll know.
How about the Preds power play percentage?
I'll get DL and then the percentage.
How about the old school, like a heart with Dan in the middle of it, with the bow and arrow going through it, like right on your chest?
You just settle down. How about that?
I think it needs to be a DL with the power play percentage at the minimum. Because then you know what's going to happen the rest of your life. People are going to be like, what the hell does that mean? And you're going to be like, yeah, the Preds hired this one coach one time, and the power play got good. And so I got a tattoo.
All right, that's it. We're done.
I was going to say, I don't have enough time, but I thought Ryan Ellis showing some physicality last night was important. I think he's going to need to do that the rest of the season if he doesn't want people taking advantage of him in the corners in the playoff. Like to see him mixing it up a little bit last night.
Stick to sports coming up next here on Morning Drive. It is Morning Drive, ESPN 102.5.
That's your girl, ain't it?
The game.
Ain't that your girl?
Whitney is basically, or Mariah is my Whitney.
Okay.
Yeah. Not that I'm anti-Whitney.
He plays Allman Brothers, and you two just stare at your phones.
Yeah.
He plays Mariah, and you guys start dancing like
damn
children.
Damn right.
Dude, Mariah Carey Christmas album. That's going to be in heavy rotation in about 3 weeks.
Of course. They played, I forget, it was a commercial yesterday. It was a Christmas commercial yesterday, and I said, oh, here we go. The Christmas commercials are starting to come around.
What day
now.
Is today? November 4th?
11/5.
Yeah. November 5th?
Yeah.
Don't tell me the war on Christmas is happening, okay?
Christmas starts the day after Halloween.
Exactly.
Christmas is swallowing every day and every month of the year. Whoever's fighting the war on Christmas is losing badly.
But you know what? I felt good when that commercial came on.
War on Christmas crap.
I felt
crap.
Good because it was a fireplace.
See?
It was nice and warm.
See?
I felt good. I need to turn on my fireplace.
Trying to sell you something?
I don't know what they were trying to sell. I just know I wasn't.
Oh, and then John Legend and Kelly Clarkson are supposed to remake Baby It's Cold Outside. So that'll be coming out soon.
John Legend's Christmas album from last year?
Nothing beats Mariah Carey's Christmas album.
Oh, better than John Legend?
Well, you could have stopped it. Nothing beats Mariah Carey. Yeah. You don't have to go to
John Legend. Oh, in the Temptations Christmas album?
That was pretty good. It's hard to argue.
That was a classic.
I'm just saying, I put Legend's Christmas album up against anybody's. It's pretty damn good.
Right, but
it's pretty good, dude.
But Mariah's, man.
All I know is my wife likes it a lot.
So. Really quickly, before we get to stick to sports, our buddy Johnny, hardcore listener, big Preds fan who lives in Canada, sends a tweet. He says, "See, unlike Nick Cale, I make safe proclamations. Like if the Preds win the Stanley Cup, I'll buy an authentic jersey with a player's name who scored the winning goal. So what if Matt Irwin wins the Predators the Stanley Cup with a goal? And he gets a Matt Irwin
jersey."
Very
unlikely.
Boy, Johnny, don't get too crazy.
I love that.
Yeah, that's Johnny. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
that's not crazy and wild.
That's Johnny.
Wait, let me imitate Johnny for you. Hey, D-Mace, Friday night, me and you hit up the bars in Canada. I'm going to rock my Matt Irwin jersey. Let's get dangerous.
Let's have two
grown
drinks.
Men
Let's
should
have
not
two drinks.
Wear jerseys in public.
Let's have two drinks.
The world is a crazy place.
Crazy sounding pretty good right now.
Let's lighten the mood.
After all that seriousness, you're just going to crumple it up and throw it in the trash.
Basically.
And stick to sports. Now, on Morning Drive.
STS, D-Mace, BTYB.
It's brought to you by Decorated Den's Interior. Stick with the pros at Decorated Den. When you're ready to decorate your home, office, or outdoor spaces, request a complimentary appointment, which is free in this world. Online at decoratingden.com.
Number one.
All right, so I got a list of broadcasters that's pretty much the voice of my childhood. You have the Marv Alberts. You have Jim Ross from wrestling. So that was a voice of my childhood. Vin Scully, you know, growing up in California. But also Kevin Harlan. Now, Kevin Harlan last night had to call. He had a Macklin call. It was the call of
what?
The Black Cat. Brady, just
an immaculate call?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just let me finish, Brady. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Stu's words right.
So Kevin Harlan had a call on the Black Cat running on the field, and here was his legendary call.
Oh, there's a cat. A Black Cat is taking the field. A Black Cat is running from the 20 to the near side, the 10. From the 39 in Dallas, here's a short throw down the middle, caught by Ingram. Caught at the 35, went to the 30. Now the Cat running the other way, and so is Ingram at the 30 to the 25, to the 24-yard line of the Dallas Cowboys. It's a catch and run of 15. Now the Cat is stopped at the 50.
So is it bad luck for the Giants? Is it bad luck for the Cowboys?
I don't know, but they've stopped playing. The players with hands on hips are watching the Cat run and zigzag all over the field. The Black Cat is at the other end of the field. Now he is sitting and looking. Now he's at the 5. He's walking to the 3. He's at the 2. And the Cat is in the CDW red zone. CDW, people who get it now, a policeman, a state trooper has come on the field. And the Cat runs into the end zone. That is a touchdown. And the Cat is elusive, kind of like Barkley and Elliott. But he didn't know where to go. Look, they're trying to corner him. And they got him in the end zone. There are state troopers all around this Cat, which now climbs up into the stands. And the fans are running for their line. Now it goes back on the field again. And it's running in the back of the end zone. And it runs up the tunnel.
What a legend. Kevin Harlan. What a legend.
You got to love Kevin.
What a stud.
You gotta be able to paint the picture on radio, right?
Yeah. Didn't he do the – was it somebody that ran onto the field a couple of years ago or last year? Then he had an unbelievable call when there was like a fan on the field.
Mm-hmm.
And he gave the whole, it was like a Monday night, he gives the great call, and then all of a sudden, like, somebody tackles him, and he gives the whole call of, like, the guy getting crushed. Like, he's great, man.
He's so underrated from the standpoint of, like, never being a number one, really, for any network, because he's always been the number two on TNT for hoops behind Marv Albert. He's never been the number one for the NFL on CBS, because Jim Nance has a stranglehold on every number one position with CBS. I think Kevin Harlan is one of the best announcers nobody gives credit to.
Can I add one to that list? Because I agree with you. I'd like to add Dan Shulman to that list.
Yes.
I think Dan Shulman, who does baseball for ESPN Radio, I think. What does he do on TV? He does TV stuff, too.
College hoops.
He is exceptionally
smooth.
Him and
Dickie V are the primetime crew.
And I can't really listen to Dickie V anymore. I guess that's just me. But like, I think Dan Shulman is extraordinarily smooth. He's just got velvety pipes. Yep.
Like growing up watching basketball, I have, and this may sound crazy, but I have more memories of Kevin Harlan than I do Marv Albert. And this is for me just from a basketball standpoint.
Because your age, probably. Like I grew up, so my childhood was entirely Marv Albert. But as a Knicks fan in the late 80s, early 90s with Patrick Ewing and those teams, like I was Marv Albert. Like John Tesh was playing in the background.
Yeah, that's
Marv Albert and
NBA
John Tesh,
on NBC.
Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I would actually say to your point about Dickie V, I've always thought that Bill Raftery was the better analyst than Dickie V. Now, both have shtick, but I like Raftery's shtick far better than Dickie V.
I just think Dickie V's has gotten a little old.
Yeah.
It's like Dickie V's like Chris Berman. Like the one his thing, shelf life has expired.
The one thing I don't like either is when they do that crossover with like college guys go to the NBA and NBA guys go to college and Dickie V's calling like an NBA game. Mm-hmm. It's awful.
You know who's really good that I love? Jeff Van Gundy.
I love Jeff. Jeff and Mark together are just
with,
amazing.
With Breen.
One of the smartest guys I listen to, Hubie Brown.
Best analyst of ever.
Ever. Like I learned more about the sport when I listen to him. And so when he does it, I think he was a part of that crossover for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. I don't know if he's a part of it anymore, but he would do a college basketball game, and I would almost learn more about the college basketball game with him doing the game than with like Dickie V or any of the other college basketball guys. Now, Billis is really good. Billis does a great job.
Yeah.
Another one real quick. That's funny. Bill Walton.
Oh, man. Bill Walton. You never know what Bill's going to say.
Dude, he's never... You guys think I don't shut up.
As I pedaled my bike through the streets of China, I was amazed at how the country has adopted Yao Ming and the Houston Rockets as not only the team of the century, but the team of an entire nation. Yao Ming, bless your soul.
Another missed three by Arizona. UCLA up 5 in the second half. Like that's the rant he goes on in the middle of an Arizona-UCLA basketball game. He's talking about Yao Ming in China.
Did you guys hear the story of Bill Walton with his back?
No.
Dude, Bill Walton was like laid down on his back for multiple years.
Yeah, that's bad.
Like he had like the worst back in the history of backs.
Oh, wow.
Well, he had history of backs.
Like just like, read the story. That's why he was off TV all those years. His health was so bad he couldn't get out of bed.
Well, that was why he didn't have a longer career.
Yeah.
Right? On the court he had a bunch of injuries. One of the best
number two
passers ever.
There you go.
He's a great deadhead, too.
Is he one of the best big men passers ever? Outlet passers off the rebound? Derek is the only one was alive watching him at UCLA, probably.
I never was a big Bill Walton fan. He never really was.
He would catch the rebound and have it at half court before he even came down. He was amazing.
All right. So I'm going to ask you two questions. Were you guys fans of The Walking Dead?
Yes. Loved it.
Did not. I can't say I wasn't a fan. I just never watched it.
So I watched. This is weird. I watched almost all of it and am not really a huge fan.
All right.
Spent a lot of time on it, though.
So then question number two. Would Mike Leach be able to survive The Walking Dead?
Oh, of course. Of course.
What would Mike Leach's character... You know Walking Dead, then, Derek. Yeah. You know all the characters. Which character is Mike Leach?
Oh, man.
Well, before you... I'll let you think about that. Let's hear from Mike Leach talking about zombie apocalypse.
And obviously, I'd want to blast a couple just to see how that comes together. But I actually think a zombie apocalypse, I would die of boredom before anything else. I think, you know, some of my neighbors would start shooting zombies. Okay, here's another one. Okay, there's another one. All right, another one. Another zombie. Oh, okay. You know, this is a really ugly zombie. Wow, pretty attractive for a zombie. And then, but I find zombies to be the most boring of the monsters because everything with zombies is redundant. So you basically have dead bodies walking around that get parts chopped off and then continue to walk around to some degree. And it's pretty undefined what it takes to kill a zombie. You just keep chopping away at them, evidently. You know, here's a zombie. All right, we chopped him. Okay, now get the other zombie. Okay, boom. And, you know, the ash or decayed flesh flies somewhere. So after somebody's killed three zombies, I mean, it's all the same to me. It's like, and then you wait there for an hour and a half. I've been kind of waiting for the zombie thing to run its course, go back to vampires or something that's far more captivating or something that's not quite a science fiction, even like an old Frankenstein or something. Or ghosts, you know, the poltergeist thing. And ghosts are kind of fashionable now, and hopefully they'll overtake the zombies.
Fashionable. All right, first of all, it's very defined how to kill a zombie. It's just right through the head. Like it's
right
very
between
it's clearly
the eyes.
All right, so here let me throw this out there because of course it goes to college football. Negan is Urban Meyer. Does that sound right, Derek? You know the characters. So Negan is the old guy later in the seasons that Negan, ran the Negan is Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he's ruthless.
Nick Saban is Rick Grimes.
Yeah.
Saban's got to be the main character. So who the hell is Mike Leach? Is he Daryl?
He's Eugene. No, he's
Eugene.
Eugene
the scientist? You're
right.
Yeah,
because he's so smart. He's Eugene. That's right. He's just, he talks.
Switch his sides.
Yeah, the way he talks is just this mellow tone voice. And everything is so just
you're absolutely
like.
You're right.
You know, that's him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're going to, I'm making some bullets in the, making bullets. We're going to kill all the zombies. That's exactly the way he talks.
College football without Mike Leach is like peanut butter without the jelly.
I agree.
It is.
The ghosts are fashionable.
Ham without the burger.
The ghosts are fashionable. Maybe they'll overtake the zombies.
Ash without Simpson. You know?
What?
Yeah, what was that?
I didn't get that last one.
I didn't get that either. What?
Ashford and Simpson. The
Marge?
Yeah.
No. Not Homer.
Bundy without Peggy. Jesus. That's like college football without Mike Leach.
I mean, I agree.
Can we just get a day where Mike Leach makes the college playoff?
It won't happen.
Oh,
it
my
will never
goodness.
Happen.
That would be so
They do that joint press conference with all four coaches sitting up there, and then you got Mike Leach. Just, yeah,
it's never going to happen. Never going to happen.
What is going to happen is the college football playoff rankings will be revealed for the first time tonight. We gave ours 2 hours ago. We'll get back into that when we come back because, Derek Mason, what day is today?
Top 4 Tuesday.
Tacos optional. Back after this.